Welcome, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back by the podcast. This is your weekly radio show and we wrap up all the GA of Donegal and the North West. Coming up on the show this evening, we're going to hear from Chief Sports Writer with the Sun and proud Killybegs man, Jason Byrne. We're going to wrap up all the weekend's GA action with him and a wee look ahead to Donegal Derry. Also have interviews from the Donegal camp, including Jim McGuinness. We're going to play a sprinkling of them. Of course, they're on allinhighlandradio.com. You can click any time and listen to them. Sinead Breen is going to be dropping into the studio, a woman steeped in GA. She is the county PRO. She's going to give us a lowdown on the new role there and how all is evolving in that side of things. In a late addition to the programme, which producer Joe here loves producing. How are you, Joe? We sprung on Brenda Kilcoyne because I wanted to highlight Donegal under-20s playing this Wednesday night in a top-of-the-table clash with Armagh. Brendan, are you there?
I am indeed, Brendan. How are you?
Thanks very much for taking the late call. That's good when you've got friends. You see, you can just text them. I know you were tied up a wee bit today, but listen, thanks for coming on, Brendan. Both 2-1 from two, you're facing Armagh now Wednesday night in Ballybuffet for... I suppose both teams are going to be promoted, but get into the semi. But it's about home advantage, Brendan.
Yeah, it's a big game for us on Wednesday evening, Brendan. 7:30 throwing in McCool Park and Ballybuffet. We're coming up against Armagh. Both teams, both ourselves and Armagh, have won their opening two games. We beat Cavan on the initial day above in Bethnal Park, and Fermanagh then 2 weeks ago. So if we can get over this one, it's a big game for the lads. If we can get over this one, Brendan, we will get a home semi-final, which would be massive, I suppose. You know, you'd be likely coming up against the Derry, Tyrone, Monaghan and that. But, like, obviously all our focus is just on Wednesday night. Now, if you finish third in the group, if you were to finish second in the group, we would then have to go into a quarter-final, you know, which would be next week. So, obviously, there's a big carrot there to get over the line on Wednesday night and all our focus and attention is on that, Brendan.
Yeah, big game to gauge, Brendan. Has it been awkward conditions this time of year now to you know, has it been about a bit of a grind in the games as well? And it'll come down to that, I'm sure, on Wednesday night.
Yeah, listen, I think no matter what level, be it minor, under 20 or senior, that you play Ulster Championship, it's going to be a grind of sorts, Brendan. So it is from the point of view, you know, I suppose you're looking at the time of year too when pitches have been wet and, you know, training pitches have been wet, so it has been difficult and we've had a couple of niggles and knocks over the last few weeks, but boys are coming back and hopefully we should be near full strength for Wednesday evening. Niall Prenderville, our fullback, picked up a bad hamstring injury the first day against Cavan, so this game will come a bit too early for him. But listen, it's been enjoyable. They're a great bunch of lads, Brendan. You know, we're training, you know, a few months now, so we are, and they've put in a huge effort. They're young lads, 18, 19 years of age. In actual fact, a lot of our team are probably going to be underage again next year for this competition for under 20. So there's a good core of players there. Jim actually had some of these players up training with the senior squad too. And, you know, you look at the likes of Luke McGlynn and Oisin Caulfield, who have got a lot of minutes playing with the seniors over the winter there. So they're getting good experience for that. And, you know, playing in under 20 in tight games, you know, first game we started really well against Cavan, played really well in the first half. But Cavan came back to us, to be fair, in the second half and tested us going down the straight, and, you know, Fermanagh likewise gave us a good test, but we ran out strong enough winners in the end. But we know that Armagh is going to be the big test in this group in order that we can gain that home semi-final.
Yeah, great stuff, Brendan. Well, listen, we wish you all the best in it and we'll catch up with you then as the season goes on.
Excellent, Brendan. Pleasure. And sure, we might see you up there Wednesday evening.
Yes.
Okay,
indeed.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you. Top stuff there, Brendan.
Good man.
Yep. Thank you, Brendan. Top stuff from Brendan Kilcoyne there, as ever. He's in along with SP Baird, managing the team there and coaching. And listen, good luck to the boys. Get up to Ballybuffet and support them. Of course, two great minor victories at the weekend. The minor ladies overcoming Armagh 3-12 to 2-10 there away to Antrim next week. Declan McDermott's team and, of course, Barry Ward's minor lads had a big victory over Fermanagh. They have Tyrone up next at home this Saturday. Get along and support the lads. 12 noon this Saturday they're playing. I don't see the venue confirmed yet. There must be Ballybuffet or Letterkenny. I'd say they're just waiting on the weather. Turn our attention now to the weekend's championship. Did it start with a bang or did it start with a whimper? There's one man that'll be able to tell us because he was in Clonus. It is T-Sports Out of the Sun, and Killy Beggs' man, Jason Byrne. Jason, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Brendan. Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed, sir. I can indeed. Jason, listen, thanks for coming on, as ever. I was texting you today. You were saying you were in Clonus, and you know, there's a few talking points from the weekend, but, you know, one of them definitely is a championship. You know, league finals last week, you know, the league always had its place in this, you know, spring type of feeling to it, and it was the summer championship build up, and I just got the feeling, Jason, we weren't maybe ready for this. A couple of the teams as we got in, they maybe weren't ready for it. But what, you know, Jason, so many years you've spent going to Clonus and the colour, and all you think about Clonus is traffic chaos, the colour, hot days, people outside having the crack. How did that compare to Clonus on Sunday?
Yeah, like Bryn, my first days going to Clonus were with the straw hat and the flag in the cider going to watch you. But when I went down there yesterday, like, I did go down early, in fairness. I went down, I wanted to see the Celtic game. So that was kicking off at 12 o'clock. So I pulled up, parked up at St. Kieran's Park, walked down the hill, and the town was just deserted. Went into the Roost Bar to watch the game, and there was about 10 lads in there. A few of them were probably still going from the night before, but like, there was nobody about, and I mean nobody. And then come 2 o'clock, when the Celtic game was finished, I made my way back onto the street again, and it hadn't really picked up in terms of the crowd. There was still nobody about. The guards had closed off Churchill at this stage, and it was only open to pedestrians only, but made my way up towards the ground then, and it was still very, very scarce. Even as we got to half an hour before throw-in and the teams were going back in after the warm-ups, like, you know, both terraces behind the goals were empty. The hill was about a third full. There was a fair few in the stand. I was in the stand myself up in the press box at the back, so it's hard to tell how many people are actually in the stand at that stage. But the official attendance they gave us from Ulster Council was 8,324. Which was probably about right, but it definitely did not have a championship.
Yeah. Big ground. Yeah, it's you know, unless it's a wee bit like this, you know, any big ground, if it's poor crowd, it's not going to be championship. And Jason, are we maybe pushing it a bit now around this? You know, when everybody wants to give the club its proper part of the season and give respect to club players, of course, but are we in danger now? You know, I know tactics are turning, but I mean, we've come through a poor time in football where a lot of people, I would chat the anecdotally, I'm not going to watch that. And, you know, the football is turning a bit. But now, are we asking a lot of families and people who are going week on week to games to just go straight into championship mode? And, you know, the excitement's not there. You know, going up against Man United, Liverpool, that game as well. You know, are we in danger now of, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot in many ways in terms of our overall exposure to the game and all the interest that's in it?
Yeah, like there's so many facets to this, Brendan. Like, the first thing is, with the championship starting so close to the league, is the point that you made. Like, you know, for a family going to Clonus yesterday, I think it was 28 euro for a stand ticket and 18 euro for a terrace ticket, which I believe is the same price, and it's going to be in place for Donegal supporters for the 20th at Celtic Park. And just on a side note on that, just an important point for all the listeners, I was talking to somebody from the Ulster Council yesterday, quite high up, and they made the point that tickets for that game are very unlikely to go in general sale. So if you can get your orders in through your clubs now, do it, because those tickets are going to be like hen's teeth. But anyway, just to make that point, first of all, for the listeners. But yeah, like as you said, you know, families are going to have to pick and choose. There's been no build-up to the championship because the league finals only took place a week beforehand. So there's been no real build-up. Like, you want to really whet the appetite for these games and give them the build up they deserve, but like, we're just going straight in here. You know, I know a girl involved in Westmeath as well, and you know, she was telling me that after they beat Down on Saturday night, they had food at Croke Park, they all went home, they were in on Sunday for recovery, the cup was put away, they didn't even have a drink, and you know, it wasn't any use to them yesterday then when they lost against Wicklow and had a shocker. So
Yeah, as you said, Jason, there's so many sides to that. I mean, if you just look at Westmeath, you know, that's a huge game for them. Croke Park won, you know, a team in the build. Doesn't often have a lot to celebrate about. And there you go. They did the right thing in terms of, well, in preparation, so they thought. But sure, the high of even in some ways beating Down, they weren't able to. Listen, I can't put it completely down to that. It's not to say Wicklow were no hopers in the game, but certainly, I mean, it was huge advantage Westmeath in terms of how you've seen them play against Down, their tactical setup, and how they performed in the Championship last year. So you would be thinking, you know, after Wicklow's relegation, that it's advantaged them. But in many ways now, did that hamper them? It's very hard to say, but it's, again, very unfair in him in terms of maybe having a wee bit of a night, a bit of celebration. I mean, there's loads of counties don't get a chance to do that, and we've taken that away from them as well.
Yeah, that's it, Brendan. That's it, 100%. Like, you know, it was all good and well for Mayo winning Division 1 last year. You know, they absolutely had bigger fish to fry, and even that cost them a week later when they lost to Roscommon in the first round of Connacht. But, like, you know, after all the effort Westmeath put into the league to get promoted and win Division 3, it looks like now that they're going to have to play in the Tartan Cup again, and Tartan Cup again as well. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how a couple of the other provinces pan out in terms of Division 3 and 4 teams getting to the final. Like, if you look at the draw in Munster, for example, Clare have quite a clear path to a Munster final bar a massive cock-up. So that's going to take a place straight away, and Westmeath will be back in the top of the cup again. So I'm sure Desi Dolan will be pulling his hair out about that as well. But just to have to make the point as well, you have to hand it to Oisin McConville. You know, Wicklow were perfectly set up for an ambush and they got it, and that was one of the big surprises so far. But again, if you look at the crowds across the country, across yesterday in particular, like, it was very, very poor, and fans are just having to cut their cloth to measure, especially in terms of finances. And like, from a Donegal supporters' point of view, everyone will be mad to go to Derry on April 20th, but, you know, if they win that game, there's going to be two more games in Ulster, then you've got the All-Ireland Round Robin series, and if that goes, depending on that goes, you could have an All-Ireland preliminary, quarter-final. You know, there's just so many games now, and they're all so condensed, and then all of a sudden you get into July and there's four teams left, and it just seems to start too early and then finish too early. So they're going to have to, well, I definitely think there's room for them to push it 2 weeks into August. Absolutely, the clubs have to get their window, and I want to see Killy Beggs get their window as well. You know, no more than yourself with Unions, Brendan, but, like, I just think it's far, far too tight. And it's like, Jim McGuinness was speaking to us about this at the Ulster launch very comprehensively, and I know he was speaking to yourselves about it the night of the Meath game in Ballybofey too. It's very hard on managers and players and supporters, and it just seems like everybody's losing out about here, which is the great shame about it. And, you know, hopefully Croke Park will see that now in year two of this new system, that something has to change in terms of the scheduling, just to kind of make it a bit better and make it a bit more comfortable for everyone.
Yeah. Do you know what, Jason? I'd be happy enough if we hyped up the league more, put more emphasis on it, even give that a wee bit more time, go on the Championship, right? You play in your provincials. If you're knocked out, you go into your Cheltenham or All-Ireland series there's an open draw, and you have one rattle at it, and go ahead and play. I think, because, you know, all these games and some of the teams getting in there, and they're not going to cope in groups in certain situations anyway. I don't know how much good it is for certain teams. And I think this whole thing of, oh, this team playing that team and the hype about it, I think because you've had provincials, then you've got groups, then you've got quarters, semis, etc., I don't think it's catching them, because it's far too squashed now. You don't have the build-up there. I'd rather see a Championship left to its own devices in terms of you've a rattle at your provincial, and then you go on, and you've one go at All-Ireland or Talchin. And listen, if you go on a run, you do. If you don't, you don't. Then get back into your club and take it from there. But anyway, nobody would put me in one of these things. Thanks, Jason. They're smarter than that. Tell me that. Just a quick one on them. If you looked, Jason, yesterday at some of the results, you know, you talk about Championship, obviously, Wicklow Westmeath shock. You know, even Waterford Tip was a shock. I know Tip were going terrible. Like, nobody even wanted to manage Waterford. I think you were saying to me before that they'd won one way back London about a year ago. And, you know, that was a crazy result. But in many ways, you know, Cavan, if you looked at the finish of the league, they had a rough league. Man in a rough league. They finished fairly strong now. You know, the likes of McManus, McCarthy back then. You know, Hamill's back, Begum was back. And you really thought at home, they'd lost the last two to them. But they'd scored highly, even though they'd conceded highly against Tyrone and against Mayo. They were very competitive against two decent teams. Whereas Cavan got hammered by Armagh off the pitch and then was beat by Fermanagh in a game where you thought, right, where is Cavan going? And then they produce this 3-12. Jason, it's remarkable again, and is it just something about this fixture that you can't call it? Form doesn't dictate what's going to happen in it?
No, it doesn't dictate at all, Brendan. Just like the point you made there about Cavern and their slow, you know, their poor finish to the league, I think a big cause of that was the fact that Pádraig Faulkner was missing with a hamstring injury. Joint captain, such an important player for them. Won an All-Star in 2020 when they won Ulster. And, you know, his impact yesterday was serious. You know, he won Man of the Match for RTE, scored a vital goal at the start of the second half when, you know, when Cavan had the breeze, and that really set Cavan in the way. Like, and Rory Began grabs all the headlines beforehand when he's named to start. Cavan were fully prepared for that anyway, if we're honest. Like, once he was named on the bench, I'd say Cavan were fairly convinced that he was going to play. You know, he kicked a 45 and a free in the first half, picked up absolutely where he left off from kickouts. And 73 minutes on the clock, he gets a score from play to put Monaghan 112 to 110 ahead, and it looks like it's game up. But Cavan just never gave in. Like, it was like Owen McAvoy's two goals for Derry against Dublin the week before. Faulkner's goal and Garrett Smith's goal, just runs from deep, a layoff, defence cut open, and two massive, massively clinical finishes. And, you know, you have to make the point as well that Darren Hughes going off into the second half was a massive, massive blow for Monaghan. It looks like he's picked up a nasty leg injury. We haven't had any update on that as of yet today. But, you know, hopefully we see him again before the end of the season. But given
if that was the last game, Jason, for him, if it was really bad, you know, I'd say he was maybe going to call it this year anyway. You know, it'd be a horrible way, hopefully, because he was having a great game for them, surely. Just knew something I noticed yesterday. You mentioned the goal there. I mean, phenomenal couple of goals and finishes there, no more in Faulkner's. But if you looked at the Wexford 4 goals, Cavan 3, you know, Waterford hit 2 was the difference in the game, Wicklow's 2, Meath hit 3, Longford hit 3. Is that, you know, is this thing catching on, like I was saying, you know, around teams going for it a bit more, and when they get inside, no more than we've seen with Derry, if there's a chance on, you go for it?
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? Like, we were down in Croke Park on last Friday, and we were speaking with Jim Gammon and Jared Burns about the Football Review Committee's plans going forward and what they might be coming up with. So they're going to draft a report for the GAA Central Council. It's going to be ready around November time. And both Jim Gammon and Jared Burns, although they didn't give a massive amount away because the championship was thrown in the following day, they did both make the point that if you look at that Dublin Derry game and how they both went at it, that maybe there isn't a whole pile on with football. But then if you watch the bulk of some of the games in the league and that, you'd be tearing your hair out and saying, what are they on about? But maybe teams just saw that game and thought, God, like, if we just throw a bit of risk in here and go for it, we can certainly be rewarded for it. And Cavan, you know, for a lot of the games on yesterday, both teams did sit back and put everyone behind the ball. But when Cavan pressed and went for it and hit Monaghan with runners from deep, they got two goals from it. And then the third goal from Paddy Lynch was just a quick free when Monaghan were putting the press on and Began was out in goal, and Lynch just sailed it into the 15. They finished up with 1-9. When they actually won the free, Ray Galligan turned to the stand and he was cheering and roaring and he nearly missed the goal. so that's how happy he was. It was actually, you know, you have to say as well, Brendan, like, it was a massive moment for him because he went straight from intercounty retirement into the Bannister bib, and it was a huge move for him. But, you know, you have to put the hats off to him. He assembled a massive backroom team there with Stephen O'Neill in there as well. And, you know, it was a massive moment for him to win that game in his first championship match in charge, given that he was out of the frying pan and straight into the fire as a manager, just straight out of intercounty goalkeeping. So, you know, a lot of the Cavan public will be delighted for him as well. But you'd hope the wheel is turning a bit. It'll be interesting to see what this Football Review Committee come up with. They mightn't really come up with anything too drastic at all, but what they told us was that they're going to submit a report around November time. Whatever trial rules they do come up with could go before a special Congress in December, and then they would be trialled for the entire season in 2025, which would mean your pre-season competitions, McKenna Cup, National League and Championship, and any amendments to be made would go before another Congress at the end of 2025 to set things in stone for 2026. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. Of course, Michael Murphy's on the committee now as well, alongside Eamon Fitzmaurice and James Horne and Malachy O'Rourke and all the other star-studded names that are on it. So,
of course, the Buddha himself, Jim Gavin's on it. He'll be...
Yeah.
He'll be steering the ship, you would think. Yeah, you just think. I know there was a committee set up last year, Jason, and they came out with some kind of recommendations that I'm not. I was trying to read what they were talking about, and I couldn't actually get my head around it, and nothing was ever done about it. But you get the feeling with Gareth Burns, he's very thorough. I mean, if you look at his impassioned speech in Croke Park the last day, like he. If there was ever a man built to be president, it was him. He's going to want to get things done and leave his mark on it. And I mean that in a good way. Just on that, I suppose, that's one thing he has to tackle. I mean, you mentioned the poor crowd. I mean, I think on a good, nice day in Clonus, you know, summer's day, you at least twice that number. Jason, you know, there's 15,000 at the Wicklow West Meath game, you know, 3,000 at the Meath game. You know, one game, Donegal people had a big interest in. There was 7 Donegal lads played against Galway at different stages. Of course, Michael Boyle coaching the team as well over in London. But Galway flexing the muscles. It was a difficult day for them.
Yeah, hugely difficult day for them. A relation of mine from home, John Cannon, was actually umpired in that game as well. So I'd say he had to get under the ice bath for the arms afterwards. He had to raise the flags that many times, but. Yeah, very difficult day for London, like, but Galway just really turned on the style and wanted to make a big statement, even though they were missing so many big names. I suppose Boric Joyce is maybe fringe players who might not still be in the team, and the likes of Shane Walsh, Damien Comer come back, wanted to really make a big statement. Like Tom O'Kilhan, like, I worked in Galway BFM before I was in this job, and he was always touted as being a big prospect for Saul Kilmacock and Kara. And his goal-scoring prowess was always mentioned. And if you look at the amount of Galway appearances he's had, most of them off the bench, he always seems to hit the back of the net. And he did that twice on Saturday when the game was long over. So, you know, they didn't let up. They didn't pull up the handbrake. And to score 5-21 in any championship game, no matter who you're coming up against, is massive. But I know, like, it's very difficult for London too. And Michael Maher, he's big Donegal connections as well. It's very difficult for them in terms of keeping players and everything like that. Like, and Liam Gavigan retired as well. He was their captain and leader for a long time. He's London born and bred. He was a big loss to them as well. So, you know, you'd think in post-COVID times and that maybe they'll start building a strong squad again. Because if you go back to 2013, of course, they had that memorable run to a Connacht final when they beat Sligo and Leitrim with that brilliant team. So, the club scene over there is thriving, as you know, like, so hopefully that continues as well. And but it was a very, very, very tough day for them. But like, they'll fancy taking a couple of scalps in the Talton Cup as well, 100%.
Yeah. I think with Michael Boyle coaching them, you would never rule them out. Yeah, and God, we could have said yet. You know, you look, they were forced into loads of players in the league there. I was just looking at players like Jack McCabe and Killian O'Curran and Patrick Keegan, Liam O'Connelly. He did enough to stay in the league, which was brilliant. You know, Johnny McGrath, I think, has been a real find as a man marker. You know, I know he marked McGuigan from Derry, kept the scoreless with play when they met earlier in the league. You know, Sean Fitz as well has been quality for him. So listen, God, we get those other, let's say the stars, obviously you mentioned back, along with all those lads that have got experience. There could be a wee kick in them because they've gone so far away now. They've kind of gone off the main radar, but it'll be a while before we have to lock horns with a few of these boys. Jason, we have, of course, the Ulster Championship coming up first. I caught up with Jim McGuinness there, just we'll play a wee bit of his interview now. Jason, there was a press night in Convoy the other evening. Jim, spoke to you earlier in the season, you know, Division 2, unbeaten, won the league final the last day, you know, so many plus points. The county now is looking forward to this, the whole country is looking forward to this Ulster Championship game in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Brenton, I suppose a big couple of weeks on the horizon for us. Big challenge, obviously. We all know what we're going in against away from home. It'll be a great atmosphere, I'm sure, for everyone. I suppose it's our biggest test to date. It's certainly, you know, Armagh was a great challenge as well, and Armagh pushed Derry to the pin of their collar last year, you know, but certainly from sort of the beginning of the year, you know, once that date was finalised and you knew who you were going to be up against, it was just a matter of trying to get as many positives as possible, you know, built within the group. You know, Division One, hugely important, and indeed then going and winning the league final as well, very important. Good positive end of the league for us, and now we're looking forward to this game immensely.
Yeah, and Jim, we're over the press night in Convoy. You've answered so many questions articulately. Thanks for coming back here and chatting to us. Listen, I was just saying to you in there about the plus points from the league around players. You know, obviously the Dons be back, and Patter Mogan and McBertie McHugh, and injuries to different people, a lot of them cleared up. Then we picked up some more injuries, but particularly Keelan McGonigal going into number six, you know, has been a master stroke by Jim. And of course, as you mentioned, Kieran Murr, who, you know, you've seen that in him, that he could play fullback. You know, Kieran Thompson playing through the centre, and you know, I think the continued evolution of the likes of Darrell Boyle, for years who couldn't get into the Donegal team. You know, there's so many pluses going out throughout the league, but have they been your highlights players in the league in terms of how they've evolved?
Listen, all of them lads have done very well. I think every one of them, to be fair to them, Brenton, have worked very, very hard. And I suppose as a manager, you're trying to put the pieces of the jigsaw together. You know, it's one thing, you can be a very good player at inter-county level, but when you're trying to put a sort of a system in place and a style in place, and then who complements each other as well in terms of, you know, the players on the pitch, you know, the physical attributes, you know, the tactical awareness, all those things kind of factor into, you know, can a guy do a job in a certain place, and sort of looking to merge it all together into a team. And being honest, like, put my hands in my heart, like, we're not there yet in terms of that either, purely because we haven't had all the players available. So we don't have the full picture yet, but we do have a really good sense of those fellas you spoke about in terms of what they can do for the team. And we're very, very happy that there's been really good progress on a lot of fronts. And hopefully now in the coming weeks that we can get to the point where more players are being reintegrated into the team, and that'll change it again. You know, that'll change, you know, when we get to the point where we say we have 8 defenders and 9 defenders and 10 defenders, you know, that's going to allow us, you know, obviously it's going to make it our job more difficult, but it also will allow us, with players like Kieran in particular, maybe more flexibility to look at them in different areas, and that, I suppose, allows you more tactical flexibility as well. A lot of positives, but when you're working with a team, you're always trying to get to the point where you fully understand them, and then you can, you know, you have that full 360 picture in your head. Like, and we don't have that at the minute, which is a wee bit frustrating on one level, but it's exciting on another level as well, you know, because, you know, that moment hasn't come yet. So we don't know really, we don't know where the ceiling is. And so hopefully we can get through as much of that work as possible now in the coming weeks and months, and still have a good summer, you know, for Donegal.
Yeah. Yes, interesting stuff. What a great man to chat to there. Jason, you know, you look at Jim and you could tell where football's at now in terms of tactics and the breakdown. It's deep, deep stuff going into this Celtic Park clash. You know, listen, the rest of the country thinks we're very up against it. Is there's a wee bit of Donegal, I suppose, I wouldn't say hope, but I think if we have injured players back, we certainly can go there and pull off a result.
Oh yeah, why not, Brendan? Absolutely. Like, you know, if you go back to a year ago, like, a lot can change. You know, Jim's appointment alone obviously lifted so many clouds, but I think the Donegal public do have the realisation that Jim doesn't have the plan that he had 10 years ago, and that football has changed and tactics have changed, and a lot has changed even since then, since he departed after that 2014 All-Ireland final. But like, a lot of the lads,
Jason, just on that, see, when Jim took the job, say in 2011, we wouldn't have had the panel, but he kind of made the panel. Do you know what I mean? I know what you're thinking, because people would say that and think that, oh, we don't have this player and that player, but pre him taking the job, no one would have said we had them players. And I'm just looking at, like, listen, the facts of Murr, let's say, how Kern was playing this year, cornerback, how, you know, Keelan slotted into six, you know, the things we talked about there. So is it a thing where Jim maybe can make those players what he did in that 4-year tenure from previous?
Absolutely, Brendan. Like, you know, when he took that job in 2011, we were all thinking, okay, maybe in Ulster, if things go really, really, really well, because you know, Tyrone were his big target to take down. But like, nobody was thinking of Ireland, and a year later he delivered it. Like, and he got so many lads who were maybe plodding along at 6 out of 10 to 8, 9 out of 10 consistently in championship football. Like, and if you look at some of the names you mentioned there, like Mark Curran, Kieran Moore, Killen McGonigal, you know, Shane and Niall O'Donnell, like, even like, see the stuff that Kieran Thompson's delivering under him, like, you know, that's the kind of,
yeah,
he's playing his best stuff for Donegal at the minute, like 100 appearances in, which is remarkable, like, you know. And you know, boys like Pater Mogan, Owen Bann, when he gets back fit, like, I can't wait to see.
Do you know what you're saying there, though? It's funny you mentioned, we basically could name everybody that's played, right? Because I think they're all playing their best. And you have to say, you know, fair play to Jim and them, because that's how he sets things up. Get the best. If you look at where, say, the likes of Frank McGlynn, Colm McFadden, players against, they just went to their absolute peak, you know, Big Neil Gallagher, you know, Kavanagh. Listen, again, maybe we could basically name our 2012 team, because every one of them went to a level. And I think that's where Jim's, I think that's where he's best at. And I know what you're saying about tactics and that, now that there's a big change, so you don't really have that maybe thing in your armoury, but you certainly have him making the best of our players, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah, like, you know, he made that point around 2012 as well, that like, anything less than 110% wasn't good enough. Like, we heard all the horror stories about lads puking at training. Like, I remember Paddy McGrath telling me, like, just, you know, running from wire to wire in Baba Fae and just about to collapse, like, but they just had to keep going because it wasn't good enough if they didn't. And you can only imagine that that's what these boys are going through.
Yeah, it's tough.
Before the Derry game, but...
While we all have our feet up, relaxing, maybe watching a bit of Champions League, these guys are out slogging it. And that's another reason we have to give them the respect. But Jason, listen, that's phenomenal. Listen, thanks for reading up the whole week. And me and I'll see you. Will you be down? I presume you'll be in Celtic Park?
100%, my man. I'll see you there.
Looking forward to it, Jay. I'll see you then. Sinead Breen has entered the building and she's coming up after this break. Welcome back once again, folks. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by County PRO Sinead Breen. Sinead, out of the ashes of 2023, when there was turmoil to a level I have never seen before, we ushered in a new county board, yourself, of course, in there, PRO, the likes of Mary Coughlin. And, you know, you can tell already, listen, I see bits and pieces of it there. There's a great vibe, a great working ethic now to get jobs done and promote the game. And it's how are you going? Are you enjoying it?
Am I enjoying it? Well, that's a question. I am living my best life, as Mary Coughlin will tell you. Listen, I suppose we are very much united. That's the first thing to say. And it's a breath of fresh air for the entire county. And I have to be honest, it's a breath of fresh air for me, because this is what I've always wanted for years and years, when I wanted to get my chance in Donegal GAA, to show them what I could do and show the ordinary people what I could bring to them. Mm. And Mary Coughlin is a fantastic chairperson.
Yes.
She's so dynamic. She expects us all to work. She, you know, she knows there's not a whole pile of chance of holding me back, to be fair. But she is incredible as a leader. She sets the bar so high herself, but she's phenomenal to work with.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I don't think people get, you know, you look at where Mary Coughlin went in terms of her political career. I know from Kieran O'Donnell now, involved with Charlie McConnell, the time and the effort, and it takes somebody with a serious brain for handling situations and bringing the best out of people. So she'd been doing that most of her life, and now we're getting the benefits of that now.
We really are. Yeah. Our county is so privileged to have a chairperson, and I am not looking up to Mary Coughlin. I hasten to say she's the first to know that we would have had different political persuasions many years ago. And I couldn't be more united with the lady in what she's bringing to our county. She's absolutely incredible. She's putting in huge hours, no more than myself and our fellow officers. But when I say we're united, we're very much united. We want to bring our county back, and we fully believe we are bringing our county back to where it should be. And it's an incredible opportunity for all of us. You know, we've Jim McGuinness back in. We've our hurlers stronger than they've ever been. And it's a great place to be. We want to keep our county going, but we're not sitting on our laurels. We want to push on. There's an awful lot of work to do. We have a, we need to fundraise. We, we're in a precarious position, and our treasurer has come in, and you know, she's bills to pay, and she's not shirking her responsibility. She's getting stuck in. She's getting on with her Grace Boyle. Mm. She's phenomenal as well, and we're lucky to have people like Mary and Grace in there getting stuck in to put our county back where it belongs.
Yeah, and I was just chatting to Jason Byrne there about the close, the way the season's gone mad mental in terms of the teams and the games. Does that put wild pressure on you guys? Obviously it does, because you know every week there's X amount of obviously preparation and games to get ready for. So if it's happening week on week, it'd just be a thing to be an odd break. We might get a bit of downtime. There's no downtime now. What is your week like?
I suppose I can only speak for myself. The role, now I can compare this. I grew up the daughter of a PRO in Monaghan. My mother had two spells as a PRO in Monaghan. I now know what it was like then, but I suppose social media wasn't to the forefront like it is now. So there wasn't that whole workload. But I mean, the split season is absolutely, it's relentless for a
yeah.
PRO.
Yeah.
Now, as I say, I'm living my best life. I'm getting on with it. I'm doing what I need to do, and I'm promoting everything that I can possibly promote. But I do feel it's very demanding, given that we're volunteers.
Mm.
Mary Coughlin, she must be sick looking at me. The two of us are at absolutely everything. Like, and Grace Boyle, you know, she is putting in huge, huge, huge efforts too. Declan Martin, our county secretary, you know, it's very, very, very demanding. But I have to say, I'm actually really looking forward to the club aspect. And I have every intention of putting the same 110% effort into that when it comes around, you know, for championship. Obviously, we've started our club games, our league games, and I had set up our website in time for that, which is what I wanted to do when I, now it was Helter
Skelter. Huge work in that, the new website. How does that go out?
It was, when I say Helter Skelter, it was Helter Skelter, I suppose, me, myself and I trying to, you know, work with a development company, and they were absolutely phenomenal. LD Design in OMA, I cannot praise those people enough. The hours, the stupid o'clock hours that they put in along with me cannot be praised enough. And I am forever grateful to them, because I couldn't do what I have done and what I'm doing to give the ordinary people of our county what they want without those people. But I wanted the ordinary folk on the street, or the, you know, anybody to be able to access our fixtures, and they can do that now. As I say, it's a work in progress, and it is a work in progress. I've a lot to add.
The Tyrone ones are helping us out there. Of course, you have an understanding man, Chris, down there has to tow a bit of the, as we always say, there's a background to this in terms of everybody has to weigh in. You obviously have a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, that side of life, work. So it's a tremendous amount to juggle. And I think what's coming across straight away from me, Sinead, is that you actually love, you're a GA woman, you're steeped in it. And this side of things, I suppose it's, you know, it's a passion. So you're approaching it in a great way from the get-go of getting things done.
Listen, I suppose, my husband met me when I was 18, and he knew that my aspirations were always to go as far as I could go in the GAA. He proposed to me at the point where Sean McCaig, the first Monaghan GAA president ever, entered into the county when he was... Erthron Tofa. So my husband was under no illusions that it's the GAA. We come as a package deal. You take it or you leave it. That was it. He's a soccer head.
Yes, I know.
As you well know, you played against him flipping off. Yeah. No. But my kids, they know this is Mummy's dream. And AJ will be 16 now on Thursday. Michaela is 14. Tiernan is nearly 13, and the boss baby, Christopher, he has warned me to say hello to him.
Hello,
8.
Christopher. I hope you're doing well, lad.
I'm hoping he's like nearly asleep, but anyways, I can keep on dreaming. But they're great. They know that this is Mommy's dream, and that I want to do my best for Donegal, and they know it's my adopted county, and I love it as much as I loved my own county growing up. There's no difference to me.
We move about, that's what we do. I mean, I've No more than myself. I've been here, there and everywhere. You mentioned Grace there, of course, Mary. I see you with Tanya a lot of games. You have a good work relationship as well.
Tanya.
Brought a wee bit of glam to it as well.
Yeah, Tanya Roberts-Brown asks CLG Nadunov. Look, she's one of my best friends. She's an integral part of what I do, in that where I go, she goes. Crow Park last week, that was obviously one of the more glamorous, you know, elements of it. We have had an awful lot of less glamorous days out together. I wanted to go, obviously, for PRO a couple of years ago. I went 2 years ago and I was unsuccessful, and I don't regret being unsuccessful, I have to say. But when I was successful last year, it was a no-brainer. I wanted Tanya as part of my team. She is an incredible girl. Like myself, she is somebody that is a mammy to a child with different needs. We both have children with physical requirements. And we get each other 100 million%, and we support each other. And to see Tanya announced as chairperson of the wheelchair camogie and hurling committee in Crow Park today, I was absolutely overwhelmed for the girl. While I knew it was coming, it was incredibly special, and I could not be more proud of that girl. And it is so, so befitting that she has this opportunity, and I know she's going to take it and make it her own, like she does with everything.
Yeah, and Sinead, we were up at the press night the last night, you know, and it's funny just talking to you. You know, I would see other people do this job and they would have did what they needed to do, and they go home and they forget about it, whereas you are actually embedded. Like, I could talk to you for a couple of hours, I would say, but GAA, no problem if we had more time in terms of issues and tickets and the season and all that. But
do you think
can we impact at a national level from our ideas here, in terms of what I'm getting back from a lot of people is championship starting too early, it's too condensed now, we need a break to build up the championship, you know, people are on a bit, like families going week on week, and you know, if we go into group stages, all the games, Jim mentioned it the last night, do you think it does need still an overhaul? I know it looks like we keep overhauling it, but you know, right now.
Anybody that thinks that I'm going to sit in the fence and sit and look pretty and say nothing, they don't know me. No, I couldn't have agreed with Jim McGuinness more the other night when he says, I suppose the thing that resonated with me the most was Jim said that he's a father of six children. I'm one of six children. I grew up in a family where the GAA was the be all and end all. Obviously, my parents were highly involved at different levels between club and county. And our family, the six of us, grew up going to games. My sister Grania, she was taken to her first championship game when she was 2 weeks old. I didn't miss a championship game until I went on my honeymoon when I was 21. So, I mean, this is the level of you know, dedication that you're taking on. I think we need to take a look at the grassroots. Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I do think that.
But I'm not
criticising people in Crow Park. Yeah. They all do a fantastic job, and I work closely with them.
Do we need to pitch that? Do we have to? How do you go about doing it? I know these think tanks are set up, and see this new one that all the hype was about.
I have every belief in that.
There are fantastic
people put into that, and I have every belief that they will bring back what the grassroots want. But it's a process. Look, it's trial and error. Same as anything in life, it's trial and error. We have to try work with it. Mm. But I do believe that we're going to get a happy balance. Mm. But we do need it. We need a happy medium.
And listen, we have a great chairman, and I was just mentioning Gareth Burns. You can see it there. See, it isn't great that people... Just talking to you how, you know, you can see his passion for it, you know, which is...
Yes.
Some of them chairmen I've met a few times, and they've been like so, like they're not inspiring, where Gareth Burns... Like,
well, he resonated with me so much. Yeah. I know he's only from over the road from where I grew up, but Gareth Burns, I suppose he mentioned two things, that he went to games and bangers of cars, and well, that just described my upbringing, right, left and centre. And then he mentioned Sean McCaig, who obviously was a huge influence on myself. But Gareth Burns is one of us. He's an ordinary person that has achieved his dream, and I hope to follow in his footsteps someday, albeit I'm a different gender. But I do hope to follow in his footsteps, and he is a breath of fresh air. He's what our association needed, and I have every belief that he will do his utmost.
So president someday, is that
please God, yeah.
There you go, fair play.
But look, I have a lot of targets to hit on the way, but why not?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You got to dream big. You know?
I was born... to be in the GAA, and that's it, you know. But at whatever level, I don't, it doesn't bother me, whatever level, once a minute.
I'll tell you what, you were, and it's absolutely refreshing chatting to you. And as I say, I would love you to come in another night. We could have a yarn as the championship goes on. I think maybe in between Ulster and the group stages of the championship, we could get another talk, because I would love to speak some more to you. But of course, time runs out as ever. We have a wee break to take just before we close. I want to thank Joe Dex for producing. Sinead, me and you'll be heading for Derry soon for Celtic Park for the war.
We will.
And
yes.
Jimmy,
we're going to win too.
And who's that other man there? There's a couple of top DJs there. Jimmy and Paul are waiting to get in, folks. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. I'm away on holidays next week. I'll speak to you when I get back.